This is the Generation Example Podcast.
We are starting a brand new series. This is a series that we're not just doing, but this is a series that the entire church is doing together. Okay, and so what is going on is the entire church is doing a discipleship series. Now, there are three main things that this church wants to be known for, right? Number one is building families. Number two is transforming communities. And number three is making disciples. And so in this series, for the next 7 weeks, our entire church, meaning us, Big Church, SK, The House, we are all going to be going through this series together. And the series is all about discipleship. And so what we're calling this series is Disciple. I had the most embarrassing moment of my life when I was in the third grade. I remember when I was in third grade, my sister is a couple years over. I might have been in second grade. She was like in fifth grade. And when I was younger, I was pretty good at athletics, and I always wanted to prove myself to be good enough for the older kids, right? I was always trying to play ball with them. I was always trying to play kickball, basketball. I was always trying to prove myself, right? Am I good enough to play with the fifth graders? Well, one day, we had this like extended recess. Back in the day, there's extended recess. And on Friday, if you did all your homework, you'd be able to go to recess or whatever. And so I was out there, and all the fifth graders were out there playing kickball, basketball. You guys want to play kickball, basketball? You guys still play that game these days, right? You kick the ball, you run around the basketball diamond, you try to get back before they make like three shots in the basket thing. So here I am. My sister's like, "Hey, my brother, he's awesome. He's so good. Come play with us." And I'm like, "Yeah." Now's my chance to show them what's up, right? Third grader, I'm gonna let these fifth graders know what's up. And so I was like, you know, back in the day, I liked them baby bounces when the ball came, you know, right? And I was up to kick, and I was a little bit nervous, and they rolled it to me, and I won't let them just. It was like a rocket took off. You know what I mean? The ball just took off and just, it was out of here, right? And I just started hucking around the thing. And I was hucking, and I look back, and they're finally, I'm almost there, and they're finally just throwing it back. And I'm running around home, and they're just trying to shoot that first basket. And I'm thinking, man, I'm home free. And I trip, and I fall, and I just start rolling through the thing, and I just totally wipe out, right? Like just face plant, right? Right on the concrete. And everybody just runs to me, and they just huddle all around me. And I'm just laying there like silent. And I wasn't like knocked out, I don't think. But I was totally just like not moving. And they're like, Daniel. My sister's like, Daniel, you okay? Not a word. And I remember it all. I don't know why I didn't say anything. I think I was embarrassed. You know, because here I am trying to prove myself, and I totally got embarrassed. But that's not even the embarrassing part yet. So as I'm laying there, I'm feeling like this warmth around my waist, and I'm just like, wow, that feels really warm. And then it keeps getting a little warmer, and then all of a sudden, wow, that's feeling a little bit wet, right? Did I fall in a puddle? Did I fall in a puddle or something? And then I realize, I just pissed my pants, right? I don't know why I peed my pants, but I totally pissed my pants. So now I'm laying there, and the whole school is huddled around me basically trying to figure out what happened, and I'm just laying in piss, right? And so I don't know what to do, so I'm just like, I just got to get up and tell everybody I pissed my pants. So I just get, everybody's like, "Are you all right? Are you okay?" And I get up, and I can see as I get up, everybody goes back, and they're like, "Oh!" And they all just start laughing at me, and I'm like, I'm pissed all over me. I'm all wet, and I had the rest of the day. I just walked around with jeans that are just soaking wet with urine the rest of the day in class. It was horrible. This is a day. I told you it was the most embarrassing time of my life in second grade. This was a day where, in my quest to try to prove myself to other people, I totally failed. Right? But we live in a world where we are always trying to be good enough for someone or something, right? Think about it. How many of you are trying to be good enough for your parents, trying to get the good enough grades or be obedient enough or be on time enough, right? You're trying to be good enough. How many of us are trying to be good enough to make the team, right? Or make the cheerleading squad, right? We're trying to be fast enough. We're trying to be athletic enough. We're trying to catch the ball really good, be coordinated enough, have the right moves, have all that to try to make sure we are good enough for the team. You know, a lot of us, you know, you got your juniors and seniors that are here right now. Well, you guys are trying to be good enough to get into college, aren't you? Right? Am I good enough to get into, you know, UCLA or Notre Dame or San Jose State, right? Do I have the grades? Do I have the SAT scores? Do I have the extracurricular activities? Have I volunteered enough in GX? You know, have I done all those things to make sure that I'm good enough for school? And even others, maybe you're just trying to figure out, am I good enough for my friends, right? Do my friends accept me? Am I funny enough? Am I cool enough? Right? Do I dress good enough to be accepted by my friends? We are all trying to be accepted. We are all trying to be good enough for somebody or something. And there's nothing really inherently wrong with that. That's just part of the way life is. That's part of how just life works. But here's the thing. When it comes to God, we are all taking that same approach. And we are all trying to be good enough and acceptable to God. Some of us are thinking, man, will God still love me if I mess up? Have I been good enough in my life to be acceptable to God? Am I good enough for God? You know, I got some good news. The good news is God does not work like the rest of this world. And our relationship with God is much different, right? And we don't have to be good enough for God. Let me show you guys what I mean. If you guys got a Bible, or if you guys got a handout, just open up to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And while you guys do that, I'm going to look for a stand. Well, there it is. Thanks, LTL. Let me read this to you guys. This is, everybody there? Yeah. Say word up when you're there. Word. So what'd you say? Verses, chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Let me read this to you guys. It says, "Praise to God and our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us." Everybody say chose. No. Everybody say chose. All right. Now, here's the thing. When I think of being chosen, the first thing that comes to my mind is being chosen on the playground for sports. Let's watch this video. I'm going to show you guys what I mean. Oh, that's a little fun with Jeremy Lin, right? Wow. But that's what I think, right? When we come to the point of choosing, right, what does it mean to choose or to pick? I think about choosing teams, right? And this goes back to the same thing we were talking about. How do we choose teams? We choose teams based on who's good enough to be on my team, right? Either you're really good and you've measured up, right? And you're going to be the first or the second person to be picked, or you're not good at all, right? And nobody wants you on your team. And so you're always one of those poor kids who's always last to be chosen for everything. Poor Jeremy Lin, right? Right? He's last. He's so funny because they think, never mind. I'm not going to talk about Asians right now. But no offense to Asians, but that's the joke, right? Since he's Asian, he shouldn't be good at basketball, right? You guys didn't get that? That's the whole joke, right? But he's actually very good. But the idea is that, again, we see God in that same way, right? But here's the thing about God. God doesn't choose us the same way we choose. Well, how does he choose, right? Well, if we continue to read, it says that Right, for he chose us in him before. Everybody say before. Right? He chose us before. Okay, well, before what? He chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us. Right? That word predestined has to do with the before word as well. Right? For the adoption of sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace. God chose us before the creation of the world to the glories of his grace. Well, what the heck does that mean? Here's what it implies. If God chose us before the foundation of the world, that implies that he chose us before we were born. If he chose us before we were born, that implies he chose us before we had any chance to make any decisions in life. which implies he chose us before we ever had an opportunity to try to be good enough. God chose us. That is amazing. Right? See, we live in a world where we don't work that way. We are always trying to be good enough to be chosen by someone. But then all of a sudden, here's God, and God says, look, it ain't about how good you are. It ain't about how well you perform. I chose, loved, and died for your sins before the creation of this world. Right? When it comes to God, this is what we need to understand right here. And this is the main point. If you guys don't get anything, but I want you to get this right here. It's not what we do, but it's what he has done. It's not what we do, but it's what he has done. This is what grace is all about. Grace is unmerited favor from God. Grace is all about getting favor from God that you can't earn and you don't deserve. Right? That's what the Bible is all about, and that's what God is all about. He's all about giving us grace, right? And this is important because I think a lot of us, when it comes to spirituality, we're trying to be good enough. And the end of us trying to be good enough is eventually you will always fail. The Bible is very clear that all fall short of the glory of God. And what ends up happening is we're trying to earn our way to God. We're trying to be good enough. And eventually we're going to mess up and we're going to make a mistake. You know what we do? We beat ourselves up. And we go, oh man, I can never be good enough. And we get all down on ourselves and we get all condemnation and we start thinking, oh man, this is horrible. I can never be good enough. And then eventually you're just going to give up trying altogether. You know, I got a friend, I ran into him a few years ago, and you know, we went to Christian school together and we were talking and I was like, hey man, you know, I obviously know you're not following God. What's up, man? What's up with you in Christianity and God? Why aren't you really trying to follow this? And he says, you know what, man? He says, I got sick and tired of always trying to live up to God's impossible rules. I could never be good enough for God. Why am I going to serve a God who's just got a whole list of impossible rules that I could never follow even if I wanted to? He's like, forget that. Right? And he's right. If you view God as this cosmic policeman that has this impossible list of laws for you to follow, then yeah, who wants to follow that? Right? But what he had no concept was, he had no concept of God's grace and how that impacts his life, right? Because it's not about being this, God is not this cosmic police officer that's trying to get you to follow all these rules. He's a loving father that even though you mess up, he still loves you and chose you. And that's the distinction that we got to understand, right? Because when you make that distinction in your life and in your relationship with God, grace becomes power. Because now you're not trying to live up to a bunch of rules, but you're focused on trying to be the person that God is calling you to be, right? It's not about the rules, but it's about the road that God has for you, right? It's about the journey, right? Who is God calling you to be? Who are the people and areas of life God is calling you to influence? Right? We see Christianity as this big do's and don't list, right? Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't. But God wants to use us as a people to do awesome things. And when we get to the place where we understand God's grace and we begin living from grace instead of this rule-oriented mentality, man, it is awesome what you can accomplish. I think about 12 individuals in history who understood that they were chosen by God, and these were the disciples, and they went on to do awesome things for God. They changed the world, just 12 people, because they understood that they were chosen by God. They weren't perfect. They didn't do everything perfect. As a matter of fact, the Bible is full of them messing up all over the place. It's not about this perfection of rules. It's about understanding you've been chosen. And I see 40, 50, 60 people in this room. And if we were people that understood the power of understanding that God has chosen us, what type of impact we could make in this community, oh, there's no limit. There is no limit to what we can accomplish. 12 people changed the world. Imagine what 60 people could do. And so today, I want to encourage you guys to take another look at God, take another look at grace, and begin to realize who God is for you and the journey and the road that he has for you. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for just the message, Lord, that you give us about grace, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that all of us could understand grace just on a deeper level, Lord, understanding that you love us no matter what. You chose us no matter what. Lord, your word says that while we were yet sinners, you died for us, Lord, that we are not earning anything, Lord, and nor could we ever, Lord. I pray for each individual here, Lord, who struggles with trying to strive for perfection, Lord, trying to strive for a works-based Christianity, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that we would understand that you love us and that you chose us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This was another Generation Example podcast. For additional podcasts, community, and resources to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, visit generationexample.org.